Love this podcast? Support this show through the Acast supporter feature. It's up to you how much you give, and there's no regular commitment. Just hit the link in the show description to support now.
Life is full of what ifs. Some awesome, like what if AI could fold your laundry? And some, well, less awesome, like what if you have unexpected medical costs? UnitedHealthcare can help get you covered with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. They supplement your primary plan to help you manage out-of-pocket costs. No deductibles, no enrollment periods, and especially no more what-ifs. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot. We charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
The sweet sounds of Kevin Bloody Wilson. It's Hump Day. Swanee and friends, Samantha Richards and Dane Swan. Hello, guys.
Hi, guys. Hey. How are we?
Dane, how are you coping, great. Dane? It's a footy over. It never started.
Enthusiastic.
The COVID Cup over for the Pies. It's all right. It would be nice to see them keep going, obviously, because it means I have a vested interest in the footy, but it was their time to go. Quite selfless of them.
It sure was. Dane,
exactly.
Did you watch the game?
A selfless act from a great club, like just deciding that they wanted to win a premiership at the MCG in front of their home fans. Mm. Not many other clubs could say that, it's just why they're such a magnificent club.
No doubt. But, We'll obviously talk a bit more about the footy, but you're starting to affect me personally, Dane.
Well,
I'm listening to the radio this morning. I generally listen to I generally listen to Ross Stevenson and Russell Howcroft on 3AW, and flick to the Hot Breakfast with Eddie and Duff.
What time do you get up in the morning? What time do you wake up in the morning?
Six.
Every day. Is that horse? Does that have to do with horses or just...
No, just the discipline of my work. So,
what's your work? Grow the whole doing, like,
up and about, and then I'll cook my kids' breakfast and away we go.
Okay.
So, it's nicer when they can leave the house, but we'll get to that too. But anyway. and Sam, I need you to go on this one first. On the AW boys, they're talking about how an area, like a country or a suburb or a state, can be linked to something apart from their own place. So, for instance, Sam, if I said to you Hawaiian, what would you say?
From Hawaii.
Pizza.
Yeah. Well, more sports. What he said, or Hawaiian shirt.
Right, yeah.
Liverpool.
Football.
A soccer club.
Yeah.
Yeah, but an action or something. So Liverpool kiss, a headbutt.
I know what that is.
Yeah, so Australian. If I said swimming technique, Australian crawl.
No, I probably wouldn't say that one.
Wouldn't have said that?
No.
What about if someone twists your forearms either way?
Oh, Chinese bear.
Well, I'm not saying that because that's racist.
Oh, fuck.
No, I don't. Surely that's not racist.
I just said it out loud. Am I racist?
Oh, no. Sam, you look like a tennis ball on my app here. You're a tennis ball.
That is in celebration of Dylan Alcott's 11th Grand Slam win at the French Open. No,
fantastic, absolutely.
No, I don't know why I'm a tennis ball. I can see all.
Well, that's right. You just look like a tennis ball to me. That's fine. Well, listen, I'll survive.
So, getting back to it, Russian.
Well,
we said Russian.
Russian hookers.
Stop! I was going to say vodka.
Well, thinking Russian roulette.
Russian roulette, right? Okay. Yeah.
Anyway. So they're doing amongst themselves, they're getting talkback callers on, and they go, right, and they'll say the name of the place, and they go, Dutch.
Yeah, what'd you say? Rudder?
Well, that's what I'm just listening to it, but That's not what the talkback caller said. No, he went off Dutch auction.
What's a Dutch auction?
Didn't they miss some opportunities there, Dane?
My word, Austin.
Boston.
Oh, well, I hope.
They wouldn't have caught Austin.
I was going to say, or Cleveland. what time, or a couple of Melbourne ones? What time is this on in the morning?
No, this is just at 7:30, but I just thought, my God, they really went down the path that we wouldn't have. So it may be Canadian handshake. Did we ever got the Canadian handshake, didn't we?
No, is that a Urban Dictionary thing, or is that a... It is. Okay. So am I reading and am I doing?
I just literally had to look at the computer and see if we're actually recording because I've no fucking idea where this show's gone already. What are we talking about?
You're a tennis ball, Sam. So a Canadian handshake is jacking someone off with a hockey glove lathered in maple syrup. So that's how.
Wow.
Just get a bit sticky, wouldn't it? But,
4:58.
Hey, I'm not going to Canada anytime soon. I'm just not going out my front door anytime soon. But maybe the maple syrup would probably take a while to clean up.
Wow.
You have to go straight to the shower, you would think.
Is that something, Dane, is that something you'd like to try? Like some of these things obviously would be intriguing to some people. Would the Canadian handshake, would that be something you'd be interested in trying?
I'm not sure. I've never put a hockey glove on, so I'm not exactly sure what the grip's like.
Right. I'd gather the maple syrup would make it slightly more lubricated. In saying that, maple syrup's not quite as sticky as honey.
I'd say it'd have the opposite effect to lubrication. I think it'd like it. It's hard enough. Well, that's probably the wrong phrase, but I don't think it would be as fluid. But actually, while we're on that subject,
on what before subject?
Off the subject. Did anyone catch the doco on Vice on about swingers on Saturday or Sunday night, Sunday night, I think it was. Well, last night maybe, or fucking one of the last couple of nights.
No one caught it.
No, just through it.
Mate, oh, well.
Enlighten us.
They're a peculiar bunch.
I can imagine.
But, no, it was just like, you know, we're just getting ready for bed and I was just flicking through, like looking for a Seinfeld or just something random just to flick on before, you know, we watch whatever show we actually wanted to choose. And it was on, and I was like, fuck, I'll give it a look. It's for all types, let me tell you. There was an 80-year-old man who hosted it and like an 80-year-old man who was hosting it.
Can I jump in there? When you say an 80-year-old man hosted it, do you mean as in he just did the presenting, as in like welcome to the swingers party,
he hosted the swingers party or the get-together, whatever it was.
So just had everyone over, or did he also, like, was he, like, head participant?
He'd get involved. I think I should have took a photo of it. He had a singlet on, Viagra is for pussy. So I thought that wasn't a bad singlet. And then I went to, like, this couple, and they grabbed, they got some pretty, like, good access, which I was surprised about, which I'll go into. But
you're saying that people are swingers are naturally more shy and it's a surprise.
Well, let me tell you, they are certainly not fucking more shy. No, but it's like I don't know. Like everyone has their own like not a secret, but everyone has their own kinks, I guess, and whatever gets them off or whatever makes them happy, whatever it is. And I just was. You know, fair enough. They want to be on the telly talking about their lives, and that's great.
Yep.
But then, so they had this one couple that went in to like their home, and they were talking about, you know, they were shy, but you know, this brings them out. That's a safe space and all that kind of stuff that brings them out, which is, you know, I totally get. And they pulled out the wine, and I was thinking, oh yeah, we love to drink wine. They went, he flipped it upside down and go, yeah, we tried this last night. Like, and the bottom end, we go that kid inside it. Yeah, so we're going to try something a bit bigger next.
What?
So I was like, So I was like, okay, that's fucking odd. And then we had like a 68-year-old woman who looked every bit of 68. And mate, she was, I tried to write it down. She was like, she goes, I just love watching guys suck each other's cocks. It was so peculiar. And then she was showing us her bed where they all get it on. And then she's called a single girls who go to those things are called unicorns.
No.
Right. Because it does, like, single girls go to those things because usually, you know, it's couples and that. So unicorns, apparently they're rare. So she was a unicorn. They were interviewing her. And, mate, some of the shit that was coming out of her mouth was, we ended up watching that thing.
Where are you taking that sentence?
She was just like, what are you hoping to get out of the night? She's like, you know, sometimes it happens, sometimes it doesn't. Because she's obviously getting on in life. She's fucking nearly 70. So she's had a good go of it. And then she was just like, I'm just, you know, hoping to suck it in, get me pussy licked, and that's about it. So, and have multiple orgasms.
It's good to have.
It was peculiar. And, mate, and then, like, they had this communal spa, which they all get in, and they'll, mate, the cum that must be floating around in that is absolutely outrageous by the end of the night in the sheets.
Can I ask, Jane, you talked a little bit there about access, and you said you'd go into it. Where's the line that's drawn from documentary to porn?
Let me finish, and then you can ask any questions you want. So then, look, they go in and they have, like, you know, I understand it's, you know, it's a safe space, so, you know, women feel safe doing what they want. And, like, there's food and stuff there. Like, they eat, have a good meal, then they drink, and then they get to know each other. And obviously, you go in and do fucking whatever you want. And I was saying, like, at the buffet, like when do you go to the buffet? Like, eating, like, at the Bay Marie, just grabbing some sausages out of the, putting on your plate. Excuse me. So you've got some cum dripping down your leg. You're gonna have to do. There's no open cum allowed near the buffet. It's just outrageous. So, excuse me, love. You're gonna have to give your mouth a wipe there. You got a little bit coming out. We need a face washing near the baked beans. We need a face washing near the baked beans. And they come out and give your face a wash.
Ralph, you guys can't see us, but Ralph is actually crying.
Right. Oh, aren't you curious about what goes on at the buffet? And, like, if you're finishing, like, really quickly and everyone has to have a good time, you just fucking walk out and go have some more eggs and toast and just do your thing. And
how much hygiene, as you say, is required at a buffet after sort of going probably be on the
hygiene? Yeah, exactly. I'm not sure. You want to be rummaging through the mushrooms with your hands, just trying to get it out. But then they showed vision of people in the spa, and that is so awkward. Like, people are just getting it on, like, in the middle of the spa, people were sitting around drinking, and then I assumed that they'd be fucking, like, crazy, and they'd be doing the most random stuff. And so I might get a couple of tips here. You might see these swingers just doing fucking, you know, backflips and all this kind of crazy stuff that they all love doing. It was actually quite boring. It was just, I was like, I was expecting, like, fireworks, but it really wasn't. But listen, and, you know, then at the end, obviously, a couple of them, you know, talked, you know, they had problems growing up, so they felt safe, which I completely understand, and it's fair enough. But it's a wild world.
You're not judging.
No, absolutely not. I fucking encourage it. Do what you want. I have no issues with anyone. I tell you what, there was a whole array of people there. There was a couple of not bad ones. There was a couple of, good luck. But it was a crazy hour.
Was it a local production? Because I reckon you'd struggle to get away with some of those things in Melbourne at the moment.
Yeah, no, it was still in the UK. Didn't hide their faces, they showed people, like, not rooting, but, well, they did, yeah, I guess. It was five or six on the bed. It looked like a wild place. It was interesting. But yeah, the buffet had me. And like, you put your jocks back on or something like that. You don't want, like, you know, or just put your titties back in a bra. You don't want a nipple slipped into the baked beans or something like that. You're bending over to grab something. Or
and what's the food of choice at a buffet?
It looked okay. I think
something
salad-y? No, the other thing was heavy. It was like meaty and stuff. It was like,
I think you need your protein.
Well, you didn't want to be a big Mexican or Indian feast because that'd be in the middle of a orgy. You don't want to have to run to the bathroom because you've had some fucking, you know, I don't know, you've had some goat curry that's gone straight through you or something like that. Well, I'm not sure, but you know what? Maybe some, you know, there's fucking people out there that probably they're into that. Like, I want you to shit in a nappy and stuff like that, and like, you know, get into it. So, but it was a wild ride. It was fun. It was fun to watch. So
memory for me, Dane, because late 80s, I'm a tradie, and that was always just before bed. So, you know, I had five channels back then, you know. So the last thing before bed, you just put on SBS because occasionally, geez, they could sneak through a good documentary.
Yeah. I was probably just a bit before my time.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you never know what you're going to find. Yeah, so if you see, it was on Viceland or Vice or something like that, Swingers it was called. It was,
they did the ecosexual stuff.
Did they?
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
What a channel.
That's where we got all our content.
I dare say that's where Urban Dictionary gets a lot of their content from too, by the sounds of that documentary.
They might sue us. Now, I didn't see any Blumpkins though, but they fucking very well may have been. There were some loose people there, yeah. But, you know, I don't know what we're talking about before, but that made me think of that.
Yeah, very good.
I don't actually know either. That was a wild ride in itself.
The 60-year-old lady was like, 68-year-old lady was like, I'm talking about like how, like some people, we don't want to talk about that. That's giving me nightmares.
Oh, okay.
Did you just censor yourself halfway through a statement?
Oh, I didn't really know where I was going with this. So I was like, it's fucking better to be, or just look, I don't want to give you nightmares either.
We've learnt along the way.
Not talking politics, but I just want to bring up something because I just think it's something that for us in our private life, and that's this. So the Labor Party put up something over the weekend that Daniel Andrews did 100 consecutive media conferences as an achievement.
Mm. What a waste of time that is.
Well, yeah, but I just thought, wouldn't that be good if we're – what type of things would you post for your non-achievement achievements? You know what I mean?
I think you should be able to post 3 days off Twitter, but you wouldn't be able to do it. But when you have to post,
I mean, it'd be an achievement if you did.
Yeah, well, it never happens.
Post your footy career, what achievements did you? Because like you were saying, when you had the interlock, little
wins.
Yeah,
yeah.
I reckon they're the type of things that could be something we could kick on with this. Make banners for ourselves.
Oh, fuck, fine, Ralph. Have you got something for me? This is a question without warning, but
mopping skills when you actually
my what skills?
Mopping,
yeah. Oh, I still need to do that 100 days in a row. I'll get stuck.
No, not 100 days in a row, but just when you nail it, you know, because you've often said Taylor doesn't give you enough credit for when you actually
work. Well, the thing is, Ralph, Dan hasn't nailed any of it, so like it should be when you fuck up because he's been useless. Yeah, my little wins are few and far between them, Ralph, I must admit.
It's hard to get a win.
Table pulling up. Your hangovers, that's it, Dave. Your hangovers, that finished.
Yeah, well, that's also not a little win. when I have a win on the punt, maybe, which is fucking few and far between, but if I would, it's at Sportsbet, obviously. It's where I send all my money, all the money they pay me, it goes straight back to them.
What's your win?
I don't know what my win would be. Like Dane said, it's kind of hard to find a little win at the moment. We're not really allowed to do much, would it? Actually, last night for the first time, this is very un... Oh, I was going to say it's very unwomanly, but then that's a sexist comment against myself. I could never cook couscous. And last night I fucking nailed couscous for the first time in my life.
There you go.
That's a little win there. Like, as in, like, I royally fuck it up every time. And last night I actually, you're not going to believe it, I read the instructions for the first time in many years of fucking it up. And I cooked the best couscous ever. Perfect. Nailed. There's my win.
Probably, I don't know, the only real win, so I can probably think of now is probably knowing the difference between a fart and a shart. Maybe that. Like, don't you think that that's a win? Like, Ralph, when you and Sam, obviously, like when you try and press the issue and just maybe just a little, you know, you don't want the moisture to come out, and well, when you actually successfully avoid it, I think that's a little win. That's about the only little wins I can get.
What when you press
the
issue
and no one else notices that you did? That's a little win.
Yeah, but well, you can only do it at home, so. Well, that's probably a little win. Apart from that, we can't do much else, can we?
Very good. Now, did we make money out of the NBA?
No, I took the. I thought the Lakers would smash them, but I've been on the under. I've backed the unders every single game in the play in the finals in this series, and I decided to take the over. For some stupid reason, and I had the Lakers at the line into the over, but no, 11. But I took the Lakers 11 plus into the over, but it didn't happen. So no, I didn't win any money. The short answer.
If I had,
I would have won in a sports bet.
Of course. Where's your fitting now, LeBron, for you?
He's right at the seat of the table with Jordan. It's very, very hard to argue with. Really, it's very hard to compare eras, isn't it? Mm-hmm. I read somewhere today on Twitter that they should be calling him the GOAT, GOTE, greatest of their era instead, because it's very, very hard to compare eras, but Jordan was obviously unbelievable, and LeBron's right there with him. You know, if there was a game seven to be played and you wanted one person, you'd probably take Jordan, but so whether that means I'm saying he's better. Maybe, but LeBron is probably a better all-round player. I don't know if that makes sense, but
do you think that Michael Jordan, comparatively to the rest of the players, was like the difference between him and the next best player was slightly larger than the difference between LeBron and his next best player? Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
Like, did Jordan shine a little bit more?
Thanks for your question, Sam. And now Ralph's frozen on my phone, on my computer, and Sam's a tennis ball, but that's all right.
studio.
It's hard to know. No, not really. I think people can argue anyway, but LeBron's a fair way ahead of everyone else, I think. He's fucking 35.
Mm.
How many games did you play? I'm not being smart.
How many? I played 258. How many good ones? Do you want to know? 250.
No. Okay. I do stay my lane on that one. But the so that means he's played more playoff games than you played games. 260.
Yeah, but they play 82 games a year. It's
unbelievable. And he's never.
No, yeah, it's incredible.
Never missed a playoff game either.
No, he's a good mate. I think Mark Jackson said it. He'll go down as having the best career numbers wise easily. Going to be number one in points, so he's going to be number one in assists or number two in assists. I know where he's in rebounds and that, but finals, like, it's been 51 finals, NBA finals games of the last decade, and he's been in 45 of them. So whether you like him or not, I sway on it, but it's hard, very, very hard to deny his greatness, and he's going to have the best record on paper of all time.
Why do you sway on him?
Just keeps fucking putting. What?
Why do you sway on him? What sways him?
He annoys me sometimes.
Personality-wise? Or game style?
It's just maybe to be contrarian sometimes when people are saying he's a goat, I might just pop up an argument just for the sake of it. But when you, he's not the best scorer of all time, but he's, you know, yeah. I don't know why, just to be different sometimes, I would imagine. I'm under no illusion he's the greatest player in the league. By a fair way, you'd say.
He cigarred it afterwards. Did you cigar after your premiership?
No. No. Not a big cigar man or a cigarette man. Never done anything for me.
I did notice that and I found it interesting, and we've often talked about the comparison of American athletes and what they get up to, particularly when we were talking about the Jordan documentary and how they all kind of celebrated on the road and in between, and how our boys aren't even allowed to have a beer with their family during the year without being scrutinized. But looking at those pictures of the boys lighting up cigars and drinking and all that around the press conferences was quite, I found it quite amusing. Could you imagine if whoever wins the Who Cares Cup over here, as you've coined the term there, Dane, could you imagine them rocking up to the post-match presser with a cigar hanging out of their mouth? How do you reckon that would go down with the likes of the Herald Sun?
I'd hope it would go down okay because they've just won the flag. So you would expect it to go down right, but who knows in this current climate.
You did it in Melbourne, you'd get shot, wouldn't you?
Cigars are obviously traditionally American, aren't they? Like, yeah. I don't know. Does anyone smoke cigars in Australia? Is that a thing? I'm not sure. I don't really hang around people or hang around anyone that smokes cigars, to be honest.
I've been out with some of your mates that smoke cigars. Have you never been to Siglo in the city?
Yeah, all the time, but they smoke dust. Oh. Well, they might smoke the odd cigar, but like, it's not like people, we go for a drink and fuck, I love a rip a cigar. Like, no, it just doesn't happen.
But I got a message here from a friend of ours.
Oh.
G-Train medal elimination. Man fights off shark, stitches up own leg, goes to the pub.
Wow.
It's not bad, is it?
Where did he do this? The
anniversary to that friend who sent it to us.
No. I don't know. He sent it to me in the same message, Ross. Yeah, as you can see, it's a group chat.
Very nice. Righto. Now, just talk me through your shock with Collingwood from not just the greater the club, but someone who actually, when you feel like talking about it, you give good insight. Sometimes you can just have a shit night, can't you, and not be pathetic and insipid and all those other...
Yeah, well, they probably were, all of that, I guess. But I was right on one thing. I told you it was going over. Said I love the under, so I went over. I told you that. So I hope everyone just crunched the over. They were just shit. But I'd have been on the piss all day. I've been on the piss all day watching the races on my own, of course. So by the time I got to the footy, we'd had a decent day, so I was going okay. But I hardly watched. Like, it was on, but, you know, it was just like there was never a chance. So it was kind of like, we're just in the background. I was just... just carrying on with just my missus, that's it.
Of course.
So, mate, yeah, they just had a turn. They couldn't get their hands on it. They got smacked early and that was the game. And they're short in quarters if you they didn't look like it, and the last four flattered them. They were done, whether they play the grand final or not, or they just got beat by a better team who Geelong have been in the top four all year, so it had proven that they were a better team for most of the year. So, I think, you know, it always happens, like I said last week, that the two teams that lose the top four, the qualifying final, whatever it is, and the two sides who win the elimination final always get pumped up, and the two sides that lose always, not sure about these sides, but they finish in the top four for a reason, because they're fucking a good side. And Collingwood, like I've said all year, just finished probably where they belonged.
Did they have a bad year, or did they have things that didn't go their way? Because I believe the former, but the latter. I think they were pretty unlucky with injuries throughout the year, and also, as you say, how much can you trust real form from the whole year?
Yeah, well, a bit of both, I would imagine. Not playing the MCG probably doesn't help them. In the end, this year means nothing anyway, so it's not a huge loss. They probably finished where they belonged. They weren't good enough to beat the top four sides, and they were good enough to just about beat most other sides.
But how do you go, Dane? How does the same side, well, primarily the same side, go from only a week earlier playing such a different game of footy? Because, Geelong came out and they were firing on all cylinders from the beginning, and they played a great game of football, but Collingwood played a great game of footy the week before, and it was, coined as Bucks' greatest ever coaching achievement. How do you go from that in a week to not even show, like, it's like they didn't show up. Like, it was
Well, they were there. I've seen them.
How do you go from that? Like, what happens?
Well, it's like if you drive your car to work every morning, some mornings you might drive a little faster, or you might get there and there might be a bit of traffic, so you go a bit slower, and you might have to change lanes three times, so it might take an extra 15 minutes. You might be a bit slower. You might be a bit angrier, might be a bit crankier because there's a bit more fucking traffic, or might run someone over, or, you know, just all these kinds of things. So just because you play well one week doesn't necessarily mean you're going to do the exact same thing the week after. You know, a bit like boxing and fight MMA, like styles make fights. And the ground was different. The boys might have been sore and tired from a huge week. Mentally, I don't think, like, they were mentally shot. That's bullshit because they're playing a final. It's not like they'll, you know, even I personally think that this year has an asterisk on it, but that's not taken away from the players. They still try their ass off and they still firmly believe it's a final because they're playing it. Like, they were mentally shot. They were fucking playing a final. But if that was true, it's just a weak-ass excuse to say that they'll mentally try because they're playing in the most important game of their season. They just got belted by a better side. That's just fucking it. They tried. It's not like they didn't put any effort in, even though it looks like it. Mm. They were just shit. You know, does anyone care? Like, look at the French Open on the weekend. Did anyone give one fuck about the French Open this year?
Oh, I gave one fuck. I gave a couple of fucks. I'm happy for Nadal beating Djokovic.
I'm talking about Nadal. I didn't know it was on until the news was. I didn't even know the French Open was on this year.
Oh.
So, Rafa Nadal, obviously. So, the people who were in it obviously care tremendously. And if you know them, absolutely. But to the wider public, there's so much shit going on. People don't give a fuck about sports at the moment, unless your team's in it, which I completely understand. So I completely understand that Geelong, whatever, Richmond fans will be excited. But when they lose, I guarantee you, people are just like, oh, well, who gives a fuck?
Yeah.
You know, it was good while it lasted. It's just French Open. Well, I don't even know what all of the other sports that are going on.
Well,
no one cares.
Racing's been so lucky like that because it actually does work without.
Yeah,
without
it works because you're
the only one.
It's a TV. It's a TV sort of sport. Well, even though this coming up, it's a social, you know, social sport. But they're just it stinks. Well, I'll still watch. Listen, I'm still going to watch the footy. I think if you're going to have a bet this week, I don't know what's the value. I probably like Richmond and Brisbane. I think, but what do I know?
I'm going to two sides in the grand final, as I told you, so.
Yeah, sticking with it.
Yeah, may as well. But Luke Hodge broke apart on Jared Waitley today, which I really liked, and I'm keen for your take on it, was after a loss you tend to evaluate things better than after a win.
Have you heard the old saying, you either win or you learn. That's what happens.
Right. So you can be a bit more brutal, and sometimes after a win you don't.
Well, trust me, my first year meetings when I walked in, we won right at 40, thinking fucking your beauty, and then can't wait for all these positive clips that have come up of me. And all of a sudden, you look up and you pause and you're like, I don't touch the ball in this clip. What's going to happen here? And then you're just fucking ball watching or staring, and the bloke gets out behind you and kicks one of their four goals, and you get your ass chewed out for doing that. And so, well, put one of me 40 up there, you fucking. Or where I kick a goal, where I did this, where I did something good, but generally when you lose, and I guess it's a bit, you might also go a bit hard, you know, like wins might cover up, you know, they say winning cover ups the cracks and that, but also losses can absolutely amplify shit that doesn't need to be amplified.
Yes.
You know what I mean? Like they can show you a clip and go, mate, like all I did was, you know, miss a target or something little that doesn't need to be scrutinised in front of everyone or put on the TV, you know. So it works both ways. But, yes, generally speaking, when you lose, there's a lot more shit that comes out, generally, because you've played bad. You know, I've never seen a coach walk in and go, you know, boys, they were just better. Fuck it. Let's go out and train him. He's perfect, but he's got your
ass kicked. Do you reckon they should?
Sometimes, yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, they say that at press conferences, don't they? Like that's the old cliche line. Oh, we were beaten by a better side tonight.
Oh, clearly. And you wait till you get in those reviews and go, boys, they're not that fucking good. Mate, look, look, if we clean this up, we'll flog those guys next time. It's just what happens. So obviously it's the media have to, you can't go saying that stuff because it's fodder for the media. But yeah, it's what happens. They go through and review it. And, yeah, you come out feeling a lot worse than you did walking in.
So with my work with racing, that we have a thing with flat runs. So if you go with Vince Carty's work, who's taught me on this stuff, if you go more than 10 lengths above benchmark, which is 10 lengths above average in early part of a race, the horse is probably going to be flat as a shitcarter's race, flat as a shitcarter's at next start. So there's a real reason for a flat performance after a big exertion. Do you think that's the case in footy? Because to me, emotionally at least, and I'm just was never good enough to play, but emotionally at least you'd think as an observer, Collingwood after such a big emotional win and playing so well, perhaps above themselves, it's just a natural thing to actually come off it a bit. Or do you not believe that?
No, I don't believe that, but that's just in my personal view. Look at the Bulldogs. Look at their wins when they won the flag.
They kept winning.
You know, yeah, exactly. No, because I think the 2 hours of game day is where you can actually stop being emotional and thinking about it. So whether you've had some bad shit going on in your life or you've had a huge win or whatever it is, some negative press, once you get out there, that's 2 hours. If you're thinking about anything else, and that might be the problem, they might be thinking about different things. If you're thinking about anything else apart from how to get the footy next, you're beaten before you get out of there because the ball moves so fast that you have to concentrate all the time on where the next possession is or, you know, where you're getting the next ball because the ball moves that fast. So, no, I don't really subscribe to the theory that it's an emotional letdown. It might be a physical letdown. That if you're fucking, you can't go. Fair enough. But mentally, I'm mentally not well, but if I'm not, I know I've got some issues. So maybe that's just for me. Like once I get out there, like most players want to get out there. They hate, you know, the training and the, like I hated being like photoed at training, like people watching. Like I hate going for a kick where people can see me. Maybe because I've played and stuff like all training or running. But when you get out there with 100,000, it feels like no one's watching you. If you know it in a weird way, because so you can run around and do what you want. All right, just on that, I've had a couple of kicks, you know, recently to get out of the house and stuff. Just a PSA for people. If you, the weather's nice and you are sitting on a football oval, you're not sitting in a dog park, you're not sitting in a picnic area or a barbecue area, you're not sitting on a hill, you are sitting in a football, on a football oval, and a football comes bouncing over towards you accidentally, you have absolutely no right to be pissed off and have a shitty look on your face. you're on a fucking oval. Well, that's where people train and run and have a kick. That is exactly what it's designed for. It's not like you're kicking a footy in a library and just taking hangers over computers and shit where people expect to be quiet and that. Like you're not drilling kids in the head at a picnic area, like at a barbecue. Like if you're having a kick and you're having a shot for goal or something, like there's a gaggle of people just hovering around, which also, if it's another thing, which is another story, if Dan and his merry men are going to say the only restriction we can have is 5 to 10 people can be outside, has he not been fucking outside?
I don't think he has. He's been doing 100 days of press conferences.
That rule came in a month ago, fucking moron. So give us something better than that. But...
I agree, Dane. It's like when you go to the dog park, if you take the dog to the dog park and there's people just sitting there like sunbaking and reading their book and then your dog who's just come out of the water like runs over and goes to say hello to them and they get pissed off that the dog's like put sand on their towel. Fuck off. You're at a dog park.
Absolutely. I completely agree. So just a PSA, if a footy comes about to buy or someone's doing some running or some laps or training, whatever, or doing some PT or whatever it is, and you get angry because you're having a flute of wine or a champagne or you're reading a book and the ball bounces over and hits you, like, just go, right, as long as you put your hand out, sorry, yeah, mate, right, sorry, and you're not an arsehole about it, like the person who's using the footy, sorry about it, just trying not to happen again, but I'm a shit kick. Let it go. Like, you're sitting on an oval. So there's my PSA for everyone who sits on an oval and thinks they own the whole fucking thing.
Thank you,
Dan. That was outstanding. That's Neil Mitchell-like.
Yes. And spread the word, everyone.
I'm getting there. I'm becoming a cranky old man because I've got nothing else to do. So I might as well. But fuck all else to do. Guys.
That's true. Hey, give us a couple more about the Pies with Adam Treloar. That's going to be unique. He has to.
What's he done?
Well, he's his partner is it right? Gold Coast, which is
a
boy, and she's now she's now going to live and play there next year. So
up on the Gold Coast, is she? Well, yeah. So what's he going to do? Are they saying he's going to move up to the Gold Coast?
Well, they're saying Gold Coast is going to ask a question, but it's every chance that he's going to stay with Collingwood, but at least Gold Coast.
Yeah. They should ask. He's a very good player. So they should ask him if he wants to go up there. We'll take Rao.
Done?
Yeah.
Very clinical, Sam, wasn't he there?
Oh, no, there wasn't even a pause. No emotion in that judgment. Yeah, this is what we want for it. You want this? We'll take this.
You could be a manager.
Maybe.
Jerkin Bucks will go see you later, probably. even though he's a very good player, but maybe Rao will be something special.
Dan, do you reckon you'd go all right as a list manager? Do you reckon you'd be quite okay in that role?
Listen, Sam, I don't like to pump my own tyres up, but in this instance, yes, absolutely. I think I'd be good in any football role that pays well. I don't give a fuck what it is.
I'm just thinking about part of the deal to get you to be a list manager somewhere. Would you maybe, and I don't know if Leon Pickering would
mind you, just quietly, I'm probably the biggest list manager in the AFL.
Because?
What did you say?
Because of the Albion. I put more fucking AFL players on that list than you would believe. So,
I'm saying,
mind you, I haven't missed those Saturday nights. So, get a phone call. Well, I haven't been there, but I get phone calls all hours. I haven't seen me put on the list. But I probably am the AFL's biggest list manager.
Would part of the deal to get you to become a list manager would be very, very short meetings?
Well, we wouldn't have many, mate. No. It's a very simple game, mate. If I'm the list manager, I guess I wouldn't be in those meetings, so it wouldn't bother me. I'd have all my minions doing the work and I'd just be the head honcho.
So we're sort of building a CV here for you because you're probably going to take over while she's doing the injury reports.
Well, I'm waiting for that day. Don't worry about that.
What do you think is the most appropriate role for you, Dame, within the AFL club? Like honestly.
Good question.
Cool fact, a crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Also, you can get health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. United Healthcare short-term insurance plans, underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
How would you like to look 5 years younger? In a clinical study, people that had volume added with Juvederm Voluma XC in the cheeks perceived themselves as looking 5 years younger at 6 months after treatment. Look younger, feel like you. Add volume for lift and contour in the cheeks with Juvederm Voluma XC. Reverse signs of aging by adding volume to smooth laugh lines with Juvederm Volure XC. For important safety information and to find a licensed specialist, visit Juvederm.com. That's Juvederm.com. Not for people with severe allergic reactions, allergies to lidocaine, or the proteins used in Juvederm. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. There's a risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. Talk to a licensed specialist to find out if it's right for you.
Pocket.
Pick that up, Sam.
Listen, I think I'd be good at welfare.
Welfare, yeah.
Mate,
well, seriously, let's make this an ad for you here, Dane. Like, honestly.
I'm being serious.
There's a lot that you can contribute to this game, I feel. So what would be the most
I think I would be good at welfare and player relations because I've done it all. I know. Then you can't bullshit a bullshitter. So I'd obviously have to pull my own head in a bit, but I think I'd be great at that. I think people, boys would talk to me because I know I'm not a snitch or a rat, and I wouldn't go ratting to the coaches like I know many people at clubs I've been involved in have. So I would keep it secretive.
Sorry to butt in, but is it true that a really smart coach who may have coached you and coached someone else thought it'd be a good idea to bring across a bloke from Perth for exactly that reason as a player?
Yeah, exactly. Who knows? At the moment, they're fucking firing people, so there's no chance of getting hired. But, mate, we'll just plug along. Mate, the opportunity's there. I'm very surprised I haven't been offered a job as a midfield coach or what else? A chef?
Chef.
I'm going to ask you one more.
Player liaison.
Jordan DeGoey, about the big money he's being offered elsewhere to go. What's your view on not just him but about real match winners? Because you said a few weeks ago when coaches start talking about soldier in, soldier out, and then when you get a match winner in like him or when Joe Danaher turned it on, there is a massive difference, isn't there?
Absolutely. Like, yeah, one, you know, next man up, whatever. That's all fine and good to tell your squad and tell your supporters and tell the media, but, you know, it's not fucking next man up. Well, next man up cannot clearly do the job as well as a Jordan DeGoey or a Dustin Martin or a Scott Penn, you know, the big guns. If it's just the 22nd player on the list who's got injured, well, absolutely, well, it is next man up. But, you know, the four or five big guns on each team clearly cannot be replaced. Now, money-wise, I've got no idea what he's asking for, but, look how long it's taken Petrarca to get going. Dusty was good from the start, but he wasn't the Dustin Martin we know from like 6, 7, 8 years. I don't know how long Geordie's been there, but it's a tough year for everyone. So you put a cross through this year, but the games he's played, when he's kicked goals, he's been super important. And you need players like that because it takes the opposition, they have to prepare for him, they have to plan for him. So that means the best defender goes for him. So it means other people get off the chain. So it's not just all about actually kicking goals and stats. It's about what he does for the team. I'd be very surprised if you don't sign him unless he's just completely, I'm going to the highest bidder. And if that's not Collingwood, fuck it as well, then he's absolutely entitled to do that.
But you would have gone through a stage where you knew you could get more money elsewhere. What's that sort of equation?
I think it's well known you have to get leave a club. You get paid overs if you're going to leave. And I'm sure I've said it on here, like, to leave one of the big four clubs is very, very hard to do unless the wage gap is huge, because the networking, if you want to be a media star or you want to be in the media or you want to have a huge, you want to have a big profile, being at a club, you know, not a shit club, but a club with not as much supporter base, they don't get written about as much. And it's saying that if you fuck up, you're not going to be on the front page. But when you are doing well, you're not going to be on the front page. So to leave a big club like Collingwood, you know, Carlton, Essendon, to a certain degree, now everyone's jumping ship at Essendon, just because they're fucked. But they will bounce back at some stage because they're a big club. Richmond, maybe Hawthorn. It's very, very hard to leave those clubs because you play in front of 80,000 every week. You have amazing supporter base. Going to a club playing front of 30,000 would be like going to playing this year, which I guess they may be used to it now. So might be all right. But I think I can't see why Geordie would leave unless it's purely just a money grab. And if it is, like, good. Like, that's good on him if that's what he wants to do, because in any job in any world, in, I don't know how many worlds there are, but in any profession, if your opposition was offering you a 30% raise for 5 years, which person wouldn't take it? It's just stupid. So people can, and I'll be upset. I won't be upset. I won't cry, but I'll be like, "Yeah, fuck, that's a shame." Yep. If he leaves, and I'll wish him all the best. But I think that they'll get the job done. It means a lot to him. They've done a lot for him. But if he leaves, the fuck it, no hard feelings. Good on him. We'll just pay someone else.
Yep. Sam, are you negotiating elsewhere?
Am I negotiating elsewhere?
Yeah.
You're doing a bit of work, Sam, were you, this week?
I have been doing a little bit of secret squirrel work, Dane, yes. But I can't talk about it because it's secret squirrel work.
Well, we look forward to a report later.
We will have a report later, very shortly, if Uncle Dan opens some restrictions and lets the good people of Victoria go back to work and earn some money and kickstart this economy again. We will be able to tell you all about it. I have upskilled again over the weekend.
I wouldn't hold me breath, Sam.
No. But I have upskilled.
We got lots.
Oh.
Go, Sam.
Oh, I upskilled, and this may be where you're going, Ralph, with this. But, again, it's another week of forgetting who Dane Swan is until I get out into the public. Over the last couple of weeks, shall we say, I've done a couple of tickets so I can work on the roads, Ralph, and I'm now officially a lollipop lady, a slow bat lady, yes, which is wonderful during some of the days
off. It's not in Urban Dictionary, Dane, don't look it up.
No, back on the pole.
I am on the pole for the first time, and it was quite interesting stand around and
listen. Don't get addicted to it, you know what I know. How have you found it?
It was long days. They work hard, the lads out there. Tradies, good morning to all you tradies. I was actually looking at our numbers, and we kind of tend to spike at about 7, 8 o'clock in the morning, so I'm gathering that's when the tradies are kicking off on the tools.
Good stuff.
But your name got thrown around a few times.
My name? Were you doing the stop go? Is that what you're doing?
Yeah, stop slow bat, yeah. But I was mainly doing pedestrians.
Okay.
Not roads as yet. I just have got one more ticket that I need to get to upskill.
Okay. You enjoying it?
I'm enjoying it, but I literally can't escape you at the moment, whether it's on Facebook or literally I genuinely had not said anything to these people. I was just this girl with her high-vis on and a mask on just standing around and listening to the lads have a yarn about Dane Swan and how he likes to party at the Albion and how they miss it.
Well, I don't fucking go there to play chess, Sam, let me tell you.
Do you know what a 15th is?
A what?
A 15th.
A 15th?
Yes. So,
no, I don't.
So these people, having no idea who I was, were telling me this story about how they went out and had a grand old time at another establishment that wasn't the Albion, so we won't mention the name of it.
Yeah, we won't mention good work. Yep,
yeah, no. I think they'd seen you at the Albion, and then they'd kicked on to somewhere else and seen you and a good friend of yours.
Must have been late if they'd kicked on somewhere else.
I believe it was quite early, yes. And they were showing me a video of you explaining to them what a 15th was. And I was standing there shaking my head in disbelief, being like, if only these people knew.
Can you tell me what it is?
Well, I watched the video, Dane, and you were slightly incoherent and not doing a great job at explaining it to yourself. You were saying something like, there's a smidge and then there's a 15th. And this was a genuine conversation you were having with a group of about six people.
I genuinely can't remember it. I was obviously why.
You're obviously having a good time.
I'm pretty good at making shit up off the top of my head. So, but listen, you know, if you tell me what it is, I might remember it. Well, I can't remember what I had for dinner yesterday, like, you know, just a couple of days ago. So my memory is fucking not great, especially when it's early hours of the Albion. So, yeah.
Sam, you know what this is? This says one thing.
I can't go
there is no off switch when you're a man of the people.
This is so very true.
That's what it is.
So very true. So shout out to all the tradies out there who are keeping our roads going through ISO. And thank you for the great morning coffee chat about my mate Dane Swan, who he has no idea. I'll send you the video.
Right on.
I'm keeping you in business.
Our people have asked some questions. Speaking of our people, thank you to our people who have bought our merch, particularly Sam and I. We had to carry the load.
Oh, we really did.
Do some signing.
It's about fucking time, too, just quietly.
And Ralph rode here on his bike. I think, what did we work out what it was? 4.3 Ks? He was right on the edge.
4.3 Ks, yes, exactly. Big edgy, sort of.
Well,
absolutely.
Near five, not quite five.
While we're
When will this podcast be allowed to be done in person? Or is that, you reckon, fucking months away?
We can have
after
people
Dan,
in our house.
Let Sam play golf.
No, so never.
Human, not Samantha.
Ralph,
the last question. Sam?
While we're thanking supporters who's bought our shit merch, thank you to you. But I also wanted to give a shout out to another four people.
I'm not thanking them.
Oh, well, you will in a minute, Dane, because they're paying your bills. There's a supporter function now that we're with the lovely people at Acast, and you can click on the supporter function and donate anything, right? Like you can donate fucking a dollar if you want to. And I clicked on there. I admittedly hadn't been on because I didn't think that anyone would donate to our shit show, but they have done. So I'm going to give a couple of shout outs. You can down. What have you?
Okay.
He's got his fucking magpie there. Sean the Sheep. Thank you, Sean, for your donation. We appreciate
Sean,
you.
Sean the Sheep.
Sean the Sheep. That's it. You can put in whatever name you want when you donate, Dane.
Oh, okay.
You can, well, if thanks, he wants, Sean. If he wants to identify as a sheep, let him. He can. Thank you to Sean exactly. the Sheep. Thank you to Glenn Jay, who has gone to the supporter function and supported this fantastic podcast. Thank you very
I
much.
You're talking about like there's an actual like supporter function, like where people are actually getting together, you know, like a function.
It's 120. It's just, you know. It's
just a button. Kind
of foundation.
It's a button you
my
press.
Kind of function. It's right up my alley.
It's a button that says support this podcast and you click on it and you can donate money. A huge thank you very much to Slick Rick, whoever you are, Slick Rick. Great podcast, guys. He is very impressed with our work so far. And this last guy I want to say a thank you to, and there's a little note here to you as well. Thanks to you, Swanee, my nickname is now Dutch. My last name is Rutter, so fuck me.
Well, you're welcome. Exactly. Perfect.
So thank you to our four supporters.
Smiles on people's faces.
Yes.
So our people have asked some questions from
and
James.
And frowns to quite a few as well.
From James, what's the most dreaded household activity chore you're asked to do by your companion?
Mopping, I just get stuck. So it's like it's an all-day thing because I get stuck till it dries. But I actually don't mind that because like I just put my headphones in and like just go about my business. Like shit, the stuff that I don't like. Making the bed, I can't get the doona cover on the doona. It's like an algorithm I can't fucking crack.
It's really there's a trick to it, Dane.
I don't know how to do it. I have to like crawl into the doona, into the doona cover with me doona, and then like throw it into the corners, and then try and sneak out. But it's beyond my ability to. Yeah, it's an algorithm I can't figure out, and then always I'll finally do it, and like all the doona will be in one side of the doona, and it's just, you know, I think she tells me so. I do that one on purpose to fuck it up, but that's one I don't do on purpose. There's quite a few that I do, so she would do it.
My doona cover's got clips in the corners, Dane, so it doesn't slip inside. My doona cover has one more time for the people.
Yeah.
My doona cover has clips in each four corners on the inside. So you clip your doona inside the cover so that it doesn't slip. You need to get one of those, I think.
I can't tell if that's the worst invention ever or the best invention ever.
What do you mean? It's fucking genius. Then your doona doesn't move within the cover and you not
what did you buy it and then stick it in there with the doona?
It comes with these little clips inside. It's part of the doona cover.
But is it it's part of the doona, like it's an add-on. It's like it comes with the doona.
Oh, it actually comes with the doona cover. Yeah, with the cover.
Where are you getting your doonas from? Where on earth do you buy a doona like that?
From a haberdashery store, I'd say.
I can't tell. What?
From a haberdashery store. Why are you so bamboozled by this? Is this not the best thing? Wouldn't this not help you?
Well, I'm like the princess and the pea a bit. Like, I think the clips would annoy me, like, when I roll around and stuff.
Oh, you don't feel them. Like, they're only this big.
I can't see you. You're a tennis ball.
You know, hang on one second. Let's just clarify. Have you ever worn braces, Dane, on your pants? You know the little clips that go on your braces?
Samantha. Come on.
Not even. What about KP's
bucks? I don't think who you're asking. The only braces I've worn are on my teeth.
Did you not? Who would have worn them? Surely. Well, anyway, for anyone listening at home, the little clips that go on the end of your braces, that's what clips the doona cover to the doona.
Yeah, I think the princess and the pea. Well, listen, I'm not knocking it. It might be the greatest invention of all time. But
5 minutes were spent on this fucking clip.
Yeah.
I'll send you a picture.
a Seinfeld episode.
From Gaff, is it socially acceptable for males to drink cruisers when at pubs or nightclubs?
No, absolutely not.
Definitely after the pub and club, definitely. But the next day, definitely, because it's the only thing that really tastes nice, or you can neck him, put him in a beer bong a lot easier than most things. But no, not a grown man. A lot of 18, 19-year-olds do it. But it's certainly not acceptable to be drinking, what are they called? Vodka cruisers and that at a nightclub. No. Definitely the kick on, yes, but.
It's a hard no.
In my opinion.
No.
Everest tip, Ralphie. Nature strip or classic legend? Nature strip will lead. Classic legend will be running home hard, so that'll do me. From Stiggin, Dane to name and shame the Collingwood craft beer crew. What does that mean?
I don't know. It's someone from Collingwood making craft beer. If they are, they can all get fucked. They haven't sent me any. And I would review it, but they're probably afraid of it. But I actually don't know what he's talking about. So if you are listening, you do make the Collingwood craft brew and you want me to test it or to have some, send it to me.
From Abby, thoughts on why Steve Owens and Jason Stevenson is out of form? Hub life getting to him? Do you think the club will trade him?
Something's getting to him. He just looked like he fumbled in that all the time. Just didn't look like he's not confident. And confidence is the hardest thing in the world to get. It's the best thing in the world when you got it. Just didn't look like he had any. He fumbled and just hasn't looked like himself all year. Now, whether that's hub life or he's got other issues going on or he's just hasn't developed, because a lot of, kids come in and you're saying they're great and they just don't develop. Like, I was a late developer, so I got better every single year. He just might be one of those ones who hasn't got any better and people are going past him, but I'm backing him in to have a good year. I think he's super talented. He's a good kid. I've met him a few times. He's a good kid. Do they trade him? Well, it depends what his currency is like and what they're after. We've got a lot of medium size like him, but I'd stick with him one more year, give him another year contract, and then if not, maybe try and get him out if they want to keep forward, put him as part of a package, maybe. Well, I don't know.
From Liam, Sam, where's the Harry Potter movie ranking?
Oh, I can do that for sure next week.
What else? Jesus, Sam.
Lift. Dane can't do everything, you know.
I know, but I didn't even think of it as a list, but it is a fucking fantastic one. I'll get to it for sure.
One that won't be happening on this podcast.
How about you watch all of the movies from now till next week, and I'll give the list and you can critique my list, which is what you usually do.
I won't be happening. You can give the list, but I won't be watching any of those movies.
I sat through one. I watched the whole movie. I had no idea what I was watching. It just meant nothing to me whatsoever.
Actually, before you get going, I want The Bachelorette. What are you thinking? I know you're used to my Bachelorette fans. Is it any good?
It was hard to watch. I heard the ratings, Sam.
Cringeworthy. I was sitting there with my housemate and saying, this is exactly why I couldn't go on this show, because, it's so cringe. Like, do the girls really sit there and go, like, when they clap and go, oh, that was so great, that was wonderful, that has to be acting, right?
Was it cringeworthy on behalf of one of the two girls or the guys, or just a mixture?
Like, literally, if some of the guys, if I was the Bachelorette and someone walked up towards me on the red carpet doing some of the things that these guys did, I'd be like, now, get out. Honestly, is this a joke? Some of them, it was so hard to watch. It was so cringeworthy. Would you agree, Ralph? It was so awkward. Like, don't do that.
Someone Dana and I used to work with called Freddie McSpire used to have a saying, which was, if a fart's funny, it doesn't mean you need to shit on the carpet.
Yes.
And I think there's a bit of shitting on the carpet happening here where people are trying too hard to try too hard, if you know what I mean.
So hard.
Trying to become famous after The Bachelorette. Yeah.
Instead of coming in and just being natural.
Just being normal.
I reckon actually with The Bachelor as opposed to Bachelorette, a lot of the girls were just naturally, they might have been naturally cringeworthy, naturally bogan, didn't matter, but they were actually playing it up a little bit. But what makes those shows real people just being themselves, not trying to put on an act when, let's face
it. And guys are And guys are dickheads. We all are. Absolutely.
Just be dickheads. Don't try to be dickheads. Be yourself.
Exactly. There's a difference between the boys being the boys and the boys trying to put on a fucking show and, like, peacocking around the place. Like, there is nothing more unattractive than peacocking. Ugh.
From Mick, do you think these politicians' phone records discovered a few Dutch runner images?
You know, well, that'd fucking go up in my, mate, they'd go up in my opinion if that was right. No, mate. Next, they're going to be saying that Dyduck wasn't in the car. That's how big their lives are going.
From Brenton, what's harder, making it from Friday to Mad Monday or first week of pre-season?
No, I've always consistently said the hardest thing to do in football is to make it, if you lose on a Friday, to get from Friday to have a full Mad Monday. It's the hardest thing to do in football. It's very rarely done. Sort of, and first week of pre-season, it sucks, it hurts, and all you do is train and sleep, but you don't have your body shut down like it does after going from Friday to Monday night. And the older you get, you know, pre-season week one was a bit easy. You know, everyone's got anxiety about the time trial. That was really the hardest part. That's just all anxiety, like the night before, and because you don't want to, and skin folds. But once that's gone, who gives a fuck? You actually get eased into it a bit. It's probably like week 3, 4, and 5, the week before Christmas, where you get fucking hammered, which, you know, where you're doing like 16K sessions with all kinds of cross training inside and weights, and that's when you start to get peppered.
From Bradley, Swanee, when are you taking over as a midfield coach of the Pies? We need you.
Well, hey, I haven't changed my phone number in that long. I'm still waiting. Whenever they'd like.
Do you reckon we could get Ed on this podcast? What do you reckon?
What's that?
Pardon?
Do you reckon Ed would come on this podcast? Because I'll ask him straight up. I'll say, hey, I've got a friend who would be really great for a few jobs at your club. What do you reckon?
He keeps telling me whenever I want. Well, Ed, I want, so get me one.
from D-A-R-C-A-E-Y, Darkar. Has Dane had any meat-free sausage rolls lately?
No, but a part of my missed work, she went and tried. Actually, I don't know if we talked about this. Where we went and got the meat-free pie from 7-Eleven up the road. So yeah. I stuck my finger in that. It was off. It had whiskers on it. I don't know. Like, and I guess I have this argument with my best all the time. I was like, well, why, if they don't want to eat meat, why would you go and eat a fucking meat-free pie? Just go and eat a piece of celery. Like, why do you have to try and copy
meat if you don't like it?
Like, why do you have to eat a meat-free pie? Like, I don't understand. If you don't want to eat meat, that's completely fine. A lot of people do. Just why do you want to go eat a sausage roll that's, I don't know, baffles the mind? But she tells me, and she makes valid points, but I've forgotten them, so I can't really give them to you.
We lost the soldier. Candace White's now vegetarian too, so I'm going to get her on the pod.
Is she? I thought she said she was going to just to make some more lifestyle like choices, eat a bit more consciously. I thought that's how I read it.
Well, I think it's me.
If she's gone veto, she's not welcome back.
Yeah, right. That's a really good one. So two more from Megs. How's the pub going, Swanee, during the COVID lockdown?
Pub's going grouse, mate. It's fucking pumping. No, the pub's fucked, isn't it, really? Every pub is fucked. And we're not a pub that's going to open when there's 20 people, because there's just absolutely no point. So we'll be the last of Melbourne to open, like the big. So, mate, if these two fucking morons don't give us something at some stage, it's going to be a very long time. It's certainly not before Christmas, put it that way. Before the new year. I think a couple of months ago, we'll hopefully thinking about New Year's Eve.
Yeah.
But that's fucked as well, you would imagine, unless his advisors tell him that this is the best they're going to get. Like, everyone's been screaming at him for the last fucking 3 months that he's not going to get it down to zero. But, the pubs will survive. It's going to be a long way back.
From Jay Dozy, I forgot I did this. Another one of Ralph's, dude. Ralph's dirty work getting the job done on Saturday. I forgot that I tipped dirty work on this pod. There's a horse to follow.
Yeah, you're a fire. Yeah, well, give us You got one more for us?
Well, I said about the Sydney horses, the Ole Kirk, we cheered him. Internationals in the Caulfield Cup, so I'm sticking with that. And in the haven't done all.
You know what? Give me a couple of internationals. Give a couple of people who aren't in tune with the races, or a couple of names.
No,
like if you're a lady, pardon?
I promise you, I haven't done the form, but what I'm saying is that the Australian stayers aren't much good, so it would probably be one of the internationals. I'm going to be doing the form over the next couple of days.
And how many internationals will be in the Caulfield Cup?
I think there's three or four. There'll be enough to keep on tight. Yeah. I'm not overly impressed. Master of Wine is the best local. There you go. Master of Wine is the best local. I mentioned the Everest about Nature Strip and Classic.
Bet responsibly and on sports bet, of course.
There it is. Have we got a joke? I've got a list if you want one to finish with.
Oh, I don't have a joke. Give us a list. Hello, no. Sam's got a joke.
No. You got a joke, Sam?
My joke was a joke last week.
Right. So, because it's Friday night, I'm doing my form, and out comes this movie. So I'm going to punch this through because 10 old movies that it doesn't matter if you've seen before. So you know what I mean? Doesn't matter how many times you watch them, you're happy to watch them again.
Yeah, I watched The Gentleman the other night for the second time. That was great. It's great.
There you go. Perfect example. So, but these are all minimum 20 years old. In reverse order, because this was one that first came up. The Big Lebowski. Just give me a yes or no. Well, you've never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
I've heard it. Yes.
Rated?
Yeah, rated. I wouldn't, if it was on the telly, I wouldn't cancel my plans to go and watch it though, but.
Obscure one, Mr. Saturday Night with Billy Crystal. Have you seen it?
Never heard of it.
No.
Get it. 8, Animal House.
Never heard of it.
Yeah, I don't mind it, but like once again, I'm not, fucking going out of my way to watch it again.
7, Caddyshack.
What? Yeah, great show. I'd put that on again.
Is 6, The Blues Brothers.
Oh, no. I've seen it, but can't remember it. Sam?
I haven't seen it.
Oh my goodness!
I'm showing my age here. Who?
5, the only Aussie in the makes of the top 10, The Castle.
Oh, fucking brilliant.
Yeah, classic.
That was my day at work yesterday. I was like, Dale dug a hole.
Yeah. Hey, one person who doesn't find it funny is me, Mrs. She has no idea how we enjoy that show. Yeah, well, she's American. Oh, and they don't have a great sense of humour.
Number 4, Flying High.
I'm not sure, no. What's that? Who's in that?
Oh, it's a piss take about the whole catching a plane.
No, it doesn't ring a bell.
It's old. But you can't.
I figured that, Ralph.
Yeah.
Said, yeah.
Number 3, Blazing Saddles.
What?
You seen it?
You seen that one, Sam?
No. Oh, this is great.
It sounds
number
like.
Number 2, Goodfellas.
Sorry?
Yeah, I like it.
Number 1, Life of Brian. So sort of comedy.
Monty Python, yeah.
Yeah, so you can say how shit it is, but that's my list. So that's we're done.
Fantastic.
All right, great way to finish, guys. Terrific.
Yeah, all right.
I'll have a Harry Potter list for next week to rival that one, Ralph.
Mom deserves the best, and there's no better place to shop for Mother's Day than Whole Foods Market. They're your destination for unbeatable savings, from premium gifts to show-stopping flowers and irresistible desserts. Start by saving 33% with Prime on all body care and candles. Then get a 15-stem bunch of tulips for just $9.99 each with Prime. Round out Mom's menu with festive rosé, irresistible berry chantilly cake, and more special treats. Come celebrate Mother's Day at Whole Foods Market.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.